Hi, Will.
Welcome, everyone, to KRFY's morning show called Garden Life, a monthly feature about gardening as the antidote for our world today, a way to honor and embrace our Mother Earth, nourish and restore our families, and a tonic for our community. My name is Julie Perchinsky, and I'm here with my co-host. Welcome, Julie Calamine.
Well, hi, Julie. Thank you for inviting me.
Happy to have you always with me on the garden shows, Julie.
Yes, so we've got a really interesting topic this month, Julie. Tell us a little bit about it.
All right. So each episode of Garden Life, we'll ask a local expert to educate us on a timely garden topic. Today, our episode is all about seeds, and we found the perfect expert to enlighten us. Please welcome Diane Green, owner of Green Tree Naturals Organics. Diane, please tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and your life in the garden.
Good morning. I'm honored to be the first one on the Julie and Julie Garden Show. A little bit about us. My husband and I own and operate Green Tree Naturals, which is celebrating 30 years this year as one of the oldest certified organic small acreage farms in the region. We grow a little bit over 2.5 acres of vegetables, herbs, flowers, and garlic that we sell at our on-farm stand during the peak of the season. And we have a large greenhouse that we also do some custom growing. We grow seeds for Snake River Seeds out of southern Idaho. And then I teach organic gardening workshop series here on the farm, and also teach in assorted small farms educational programs through University of Idaho that I've done for 25 years. So we're growers and educators and love being a part of this program.
Fantastic. 30 years. Congratulations, Diane. That is quite a body of work.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So let's get right to it. Diane, tell us, why should we start our own seeds?
Well, there's lots of reasons for that. I mean, this time of year, if you're a gardener, or even if you're not a gardener, you're itching to get outside. And I think starting seeds is a pretty great way to begin any kind of spring season. But I think the main reason to start your own seeds is really for coming up with the varieties and diversity that you can find that you can't find in a lot of the local nurseries. You're kind of limited. You know, you go to a seed catalog and you'll find 50 different kinds of tomatoes. You go to the a nursery, you might find 10 or something. So it's for the variety, but I think it's really important when you're thinking about starting your own seeds that you really consider the cost associated with seed starting and be realistic about that investment of what you need to have success with starting your own seed. And seed prices have increased quite a bit along with everything else, but I think it's a great thing to do. And I think in all the classes that I teach at the university and on the farm, I encourage everyone to start small. If you're just starting out and you're thinking about starting seeds for the first time, don't get too overzealous with it. Start with a few and see how that works for you, because the big thing with seed starting is you're going to start with just a few little seeds and they're going to grow quickly, and you need to have space to take them to the next step. So that's really important. And just making those choices, oh my gosh, the seed catalogs have been coming in for a while, and you know, I look through them and I want everything, and
and you've got 2.5 acres. Most of us will just have some garden plot or some raised beds or something, so you've got room to of course plant your seeds, but we're limited, most of us listeners and hosts.
Well, the thing is, no matter how big your garden space is, the rule is you're going to fill it up, and there's always a time in about the end of May where I've still got plants and I'm out of space. I don't know where to put them. So, and I mean, that's going to happen no matter what. So it's kind of the nature of gardening and planting, and it's easy to get excited about it. So with the seeds, There are so many choices, and you really need to be selective and choose wisely. The seed packets and seed catalogs will give you a lot of information that you need to know, whether you should be direct seeding into the garden or whether you'll need to start them so many weeks before the last frost. So there's some things that are, I think, really important that you think about and take the time to do some planning to figure out how many plants of different types that you want to grow in your garden, and develop a seeding calendar, which will give you an idea of when you need to start, and really take some good notes as far as what those seeds need to have optimal growing conditions, like how deep do you plant the seed? And most seed packets, a reputable seed company, the seed packet will tell you how deep to plant seeds. So that's really important too.
I'm glad you brought up all the seed companies and the information in their catalogs, because it is all right there for you. If you want to know, does it take 6 to 8 weeks before you plant them out in the garden, then you can learn that from the packet. So it really is all contained within those seed catalogs and seed packets. And so moving on to the soil, what kind of potting soil do you recommend, or do you look for in a good seeding soil mix?
Well, because we're certified organic, everything that we use is certified organic. It's approved for that process. But when it comes down to the potting mix, seeds do best in a sterilized mix where there are fewer inherent problems than with garden soil. You're going to have a lot better luck if you invest in a sterilized soil mix. And there's a lot of different options out there. Typical potting soil actually has no soil in it. It's a mix of peat moss and vermiculite and a mix of other ingredients that is well draining and doesn't pack down like garden soil does. And it's also sterilized, so it's free of diseases and insects that may be overwintering in your garden soil. So it's the other thing with a sterilized potting mix, it does not have nutrients in it. So it's important that as soon as those seedlings come up, that you will need to feed them, because they need to eat just like you do.
Sure. You know, Julie Perchinsky and I were talking about this before we signed on to Zoom with you, Diane, and she really learned this lesson, Julie, didn't you?
I did. I one year bought a garden mix. Oh, no, it was a potting mix, not a potting soil. It wasn't sterilized. I learned later on in the growing season, and I lost all my bedding plants because of not seeing that it was not sterilized. So that was a tough lesson for me too.
And there's, you know, you can experiment with trying to sterilize your own, but you can get a reasonably priced mix. And for the amount of soilless or potting mix that most home gardeners are going to use, you'll do better in just buying it than trying to do your own. But along with that, containers are another thing that you need to think about for starting your seeds indoors, and whether you're purchasing pots or doing it in flats or containers you've saved. Like I've experimented over the years with a lot of different things, but I mean, we're starting up thousands of plants every year. So we do invest in seed flats and things like that, but you can use yogurt containers or recycled containers in your kitchen. But if you use those types of containers, you want to make sure that you put a drainage hole in them, because that's not going to be too good for them to be too wet. And, you know, clean those pots out really well and disinfect them by, you can disinfect them with like one part bleach to 10 parts water, and that'll kill any bacteria that'll be in there. And just keep in mind that your seedlings are going to grow and they're going to need to be moved into larger pots that are going to even take up more space. So starting out, you don't need a lot of space to start your seeds, but as they progress, you're going to need more space. So that's really what you need to be thinking ahead with that because they're going to need a fair amount of light. You need a light source. That's another thing.
Right. I found too with my plants, I don't dare start until I have my lights in place because that's an easy thing to put off. And you may need them within 5 days, 7 days when they finally broke the surface and are ready to grow. And they have to kind of be in place. What about temperature? Right. What is the air temperature in the room that you grow in? Do you heat it up?
We use in our greenhouse, we use like a baker's shelves that I insulate with Reflectix or and styrofoams. And we use fluorescent lights that have a ballast on the fluorescent, on the light fixture, which provides some heat, and that makes a difference. Oh. But that way we're only heating the small area that we're starting the seeds in instead of trying to heat a big space, because they do need warmth to germinate, and some seeds need more warmth than others to germinate. Mm-hmm. You know, tomatoes and peppers, those things that need heat during the summer also need heat to germinate.
What's your favorite way to label things? I mean, that's a real issue for me. I can't seem to keep things labeled. Do you use plastic labels? Do you use duct tape? I mean, what's your way?
I do use plastic labels. I've experimented, and sometimes I did start some onions the other day, and I only had a couple pots of them, and the labels were down in the greenhouse, so I just wrote it on some masking tape and stuck on the side of the pot. But because we're growing, and we custom grow for people as well, so because we're growing thousands of plants, of course, I'm using labels and a permanent marker to write on that. And one lesson that I learned for doing large amounts of plants with the labeling is to always turn my labels away from the southern exposure, because that bleaches out the label, and then you don't know what you have. And it's good to know what you have, and you won't remember. So you need to be keeping notes, and keeping a garden journal and a seed starting journal is a really good idea. So it will help you with planning for next year. You know, write down what variety tomatoes you planted or seeded and how many you seeded. And along with that, that will help you make it more cost effective. I mean, one of the reasons for starting your own seeds is it's a money saving thing, but it's not going to be if you don't keep track of things. I mean, when it comes down to it, you find a tomato that really works well for you and you didn't write down what kind of tomato it is, well, you're just going to be scratching your head. So those keeping notes and labels are pretty important things.
Yes. And from year to year, I mean, I imagine you've found so many vegetables that have worked well for you. And I suppose that varies from year to year, but over your many years of experience, you must have some real success and favorites at this point.
I do. And I think one of the things when you're looking at seed sources and plant sources, but it's really important to make your purchase from a seed supplier that grows in a similar environment as we have here. For example, I'm not going to buy seed from New Mexico or Arizona or South Texas, because most of that seed has been grown in a completely different environment than us. And it's not as apt to thrive here. But that's one of the reasons why we also save our own seed, because by saving our own seed year to year, we end up with varieties that not only are tried and true, but they've adapted to our environment. So it does make a difference. You know, and on the coast of Oregon, everyone has rosemary bushes. In California, they have rosemary shrubs around their houses. Here, rosemary won't survive over winter unless you bring it in. So There's a lot of variables there.
Right. Depending on your location, What about keeping seeds over a couple of years? How long are seeds viable? Is it different for each seed, or what's your rule of thumb?
Well, it is different. Some species don't keep as well as others. However, the main thing for keeping seed and the longevity of it, maintaining its viability, its ability to germinate, is cool, dark, and dry. So I have a multitude of containers that I use. Jars are excellent, but I have like these folders that are kind of hermetically sealed that I keep things in, and I've got generations of seed. But the rule is, most seed will be viable for about 3 years, and then it starts losing about 10% of its viability. So it'll still germinate. You're just going to get a lower percentage of germination. That's if you've stored it correctly. What a lot of people end up doing is they keep their seeds in the greenhouse, and that's not going to work. I mean, no living thing is going to do well in that environment.
Yeah, too humid. You know, so we were also talking about this before the interview began. Diane and I was telling Julie Perchinsky that I have like, stacks of partially full, you know, seed containers that have just been out in the garage, and they've been cool, maybe not dark. And so we're trying to brainstorm for ideas. And I thought, well, maybe just try microgreening them, like my broccoli seeds or something, and whatever happens, happens. Do you like that idea or not really?
Sure. You can do a seed test and just test for viability. And if they don't germinate, then I mean, just doing a moist paper towel and spreading those seeds out on there. And what we usually will do is, if I'm doing a seed test or checking for viability, I'll just pull 10 seeds out of a pack. I'll write the date on a paper plate that I started soaking them, and then I'll keep them moist in the paper towel and just watch and see what germinates.
Oh, great. Great. That's, you can great really use
idea.
Them.
Yeah. I love that idea. I'll have to run.
And if you don't want to grow it, you can eat them as microgreens.
I love that idea.
Do you mist your seeds when you water them, or do you, how do you water those seeds in the house or in the inside?
I have a mister attachment on my hose. So and the thing is really keeping them lightly moist. You don't want them too wet. You don't want them too dry. And if you end up using bottom heat, you need to be aware that they're going to dry out really quickly. So being cautious with that. But I've used hand misters. I mean, when we first started out, I was just doing one or two fluorescent lights and grew under that. And I pull the trays out and mist them and put them back under the lights. And that's another thing with the lights. As soon as things germinate, the plants have the ability to do photosynthesis and take care of themselves, but they need that light. And a lot of people will start them in a window and then they get all elongated and don't do so well. So the light source is really important as you progress with your seed saving. And my rule of thumb was to keep the lights like 4 fingers wide away from the seedlings. And I just adjust accordingly and keep them that way until they have their first true leaves. And then I can take them out from under the lights and move them to prepare to transplant them up into bigger pots.
Okay, so you really do need a light source. You can't just rely on your sunny south window. It's not going to be a good situation.
It'll work for a little while, but and on North Idaho, we have a nice sunny day today, but there's an awful lot of time where there isn't any sun, and that sunny south window is super for when it's sunny, but you're going to have a lot of time where it's not. And our springtime is typically not so sunny. So some kind of light source is really helpful, and you don't need to get too extravagant with it. Just fluorescent lights work just fine.
It is interesting. I got 2 different types of lights this year. I've been experimenting a lot with my lights just to every year I try and learn new things and add them to all the things that I knew before, which each year I realize really isn't that much, especially when I talk to experts like you, Diane. So,
oh my gosh, the more I know, the more I don't know. Every time I think I've got it figured out. And then just the climate change in itself is, we adapt every year to something different. So that has us looking at selecting different seed varieties. You know, now we only grow heat tolerant lettuce and heat tolerant broccoli, where we used to just get a standard variety. Now I look for a hybrid that is going to be heat tolerant.
Wow. How about watermelons, muskmelons?
We have been saving our own seed of a Hale's Best Melon, which is a small, considered a dessert melon. It is like candy. And we've been saving the seed for like 15 years. So we do get melon. That's the only melon that we grow because we don't want it to cross with anything else. So for that portion, and we do that with a number of varieties that we save seed from. We'll only grow one if we're saving that seed because we don't want it to cross with something else.
Well, let's.
But that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, as we start to wind down on time, let's take a minute and talk about seed saving. How does one get started on saving your own seeds, and when do we start collecting? How do we get started?
Well, the seed saving is something you kind of want to think about when you plant your garden. Number one, it has to be from open pollinated seeds, which means usually an heirloom variety, which means that it will grow exactly the same every year. You can save seed from hybrids, but it's not going to be exactly what the parent was. So you're better off just saving seed from an open pollinated variety. And we grow a number of different varieties that we save seed from. And when we do that, I will plant it in an isolated area, so it's not going to cross with something similar. So I'm planning on seed saving when I'm planting, but it's different for all kinds of plants. So there's no simple way with that and determining when you're going to collect seed. You need to know if it's a biennial or an annual. If it's a biennial, you're not going to get seed until next year. Like carrots, you can leave carrots and beets in the ground, and the following year you'll get seed. But we've been learning a lot more about seed saving since we started growing seed commercially, and it's a great thing to do. It's pretty exciting to grow your own seed. It gives you can save you a lot of money and a very worthwhile thing. And I do a workshop on just a 3-hour workshop here on the farm just on seed saving every year. But I also do a 3-hour workshop on seed starting. So there's a lot to it. But I'm sure you can find out information online or books. There's lots of great books at the library.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, seed saving is really interesting. And a short story about my sister is that she's been crossing daylilies for something like 35 years. And it's a kind of a long process because they are biennials. She doesn't get any seeds for a couple of years. And it's so much fun for her, though. It's just been sort of a lifelong hobby. And she gets some interesting new crosses of daylilies. She loves it.
Yeah, it's a very satisfying thing collecting seeds in every year, and I love the fact that a lot of the seed that we save and that goes to the seed company goes all over the country. It really makes me feel proud that a little bit of Green Tree Naturals can be in gardens all over the country. So
that's pretty neat. Thing. Yeah, that's a neat thing to be able to say.
So, Diane, thank you so much for all this great information. Now, greentreenaturals.com is your website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, and you have a list of all your workshops and everything coming up, all your education, everything is on that webpage. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's all kinds of information on there about the workshops that we will be hosting this summer and different programs that we do.
All right. Well, tell us a short sampling in case listeners would want to go to your website and think about what they might learn.
For the workshops, you mean?
Yes. Or, yeah.
Well, the workshops, I kind of set them up for our internship program to have a focus on what's happening in the gardens as the season progresses. So we start with seed saving, then we go to planting the garden. We have fertilizing and soil building. We have natural pest control, seed saving. And then there's one on harvesting the bounty and help you figure out when the best time is to harvest and post-harvest handling and the good safe food measures for handling, that type of thing. So it goes through from seed to harvest.
Yeah, start to finish. It could be a great education for a new gardener.
And well, it works for, I've had people come that have been gardening for years and were ready to give up and they took the workshops and started over again. So
that's great. There's so much to learn.
And gardening, I mean, just getting the seeds in the ground, getting your soil, your hands in the earth, it's a good thing for you to do.
It is. So with that in mind, we are asking all of our experts for an antidote of the week. Give us something that will give people some kind of sense of how wonderful gardening is this time of year. What would your antidote or final tip or suggestion that will bring pleasure and pride to our gardening experience? What would you say is the antidote of this month?
Antidote of this month.
What would make people feel good?
Well, planting seeds is a pretty magical thing. And even, I mean, I've been a grower for longer than I've been a farmer, and it's a magical thing that a teeny tiny seed can turn into a tomato or a potato, anything. Yes. I mean, just the fact that you can grow from a seed and have such a bounty and the reward of that. And I think one of the important tips for seed starting is know that when you buy a package of seeds that has 35 or 100 seeds in there, you don't have to plant all of them. figure out what you need, what your needs are, and go with that. But by all means, plant a seed. It's a tiny little miracle of life, and it's a wonderful, satisfying thing to do. So I encourage everyone, if you're into gardening or thinking about it, try planting a seed.
And you know what I think is a miracle, Diane Green, is that you still find it to be a miracle after the millions of seeds you planted.
That's why we do it. We love what we do, and we couldn't keep doing it if we didn't love it.
Oh, that's a true calling if I've ever heard one. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for joining us today. Diane Green, educator, teacher, mentor, Green Tree Naturals. It's been a delight having you on our program today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Julie and I'll take a chance, take a minute to talk about what she advised as far as seed starting goes. Obviously, Diane is an educator. She's a mentor, and most important, she's a grower. And she shared all the information that you could possibly need to start your own seeds with one, the most important caveat: start small. Seed only what you have room for. I really like that. I break that one every year.
Boy, Julie, this is Julie Calamine here with Julie Perchinski, and I couldn't agree more. Why don't you share your seed starting, and then I'll share my tiny bit of seed starting that I've done this year.
Okay, well, yes, I just transplanted my peppers. I had transplanted my tomatoes quite a bit earlier, and like Diane said, only transplant what you're going to use. But this year, I think I'm going to be helping the different fundraisers for nonprofits as far as plant sales go. Maybe the museum, maybe the Bonner County Gardeners, if I have a lot left. And I have a lot of friends and family I like to give plants do too.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me, Julie P, is an excuse to plant an awful lot of seeds, but I'm going to tell you my seed story. I went and got one of those easy little seed start 72 little plugs, and I thought I'm going to stop it at 72 plants. And of course, I opened up all my herb packages and my little starter. I had some squash, etc. And as you know, as we just talked about on the interview, there's so dang many seeds. And I found myself adding extras. So now they've sprouted. And in some of those little like 1-inch plugs, I've got like 8 seeds coming out. So now I'm going to have to do some serious thinning.
That's the hard part, the thinning. Pulling them out once they started.
Oh.
I actually took an eyebrow plucker and plucked out the little guys in my little trays just to give them a little more room. I do that every year. It's really crazy.
I hate to do it, but you've got to do it.
Well, Diane was so much fun to talk to. She does all kinds of things. They grow for the neighbors. They grow for their customers. They grow seed for a seed company. That's one thing I'm going to do this year, Julie. I'm going to find her cantaloupe seed.
You told me that, and I think that's the way to go. And I love a homegrown cantaloupe, so I hope it works out for you, Julie.
Yes, I think it will. As she said, the climate is changing. It's warming here, and we have to change our growing to reflect that. I've never grown melons before, and I've never grown corn before, but finally I get tomatoes every year. So in my garden too, I see how much the climate is warming.
Yes, and I hate to say it, but there was just a report that it's happening even faster than we think. The United Nations put that out, so we will be looking at some different gardening, I think, in the next years ahead.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so yes. I have to look to that. So what's going on with your garlic, Julie? Mine's up.
Mine's up, too. Mine's up probably about 3 inches. I did a crazy thing last year when we have our garlic segment. I'll get into that with you. But, yes, I'm very excited. I'm, like I said, I've been transplanting, seeding. And you know what else I'm doing that Diane mentioned that you and she talked about was the microgreens.
Neat. What have you got? What's coming up? What's sprouting?
I'm just starting broccoli, kale, lettuces, and again, too much, too many. But I'm going to transplant them into flats, and that's going to be my microgreens. And we'll be able to eat those all early spring into when the garden comes on.
Well, I'm not sure that you can have too many microgreens because you can just be nibbling on them.
Definitely. It takes a lot to do it. Let's go to Diane's final word. I thought that was so great. Planting seeds is magical. That's what she said. A teeny tiny seed can turn into a tomato. And by all means, plant a seed. And Diane and Tom, after 30 years in the business of growing, they're still making a miracle every spring out there at the Green Tree Naturals Farm up at Rapid Lightning Road. If you want to listen to her interview again, we will have it podcast on our website later today.
Yes, it'll be up later today. That was a great interview, and you did a great job with it, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short music break and then come back with some current events. So stay with us, listeners.